Live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za. Hey. First things first.
So something that I saw on Wednesday, I think it was Pastor Omar Soso getting acquitted in his trial that has been ongoing for 8 years.
Yep.
And when Judge Schoeman read out the judgment, she made a point of highlighting the failures of the NPA.
Mm.
So essentially what happens in South Africa is the criminal procedure is very simple. You will go report a matter to a police station or a police officer. The police station will open up a docket. That's an investigating officer who does it. Or rather, the person you report it to obviously opens up the docket, then they hand it over to the investigating officer. Mm-hmm. Investigating officer then goes to look for the evidence pertaining to his case. Mm. All that evidence will put in the docket. Once that docket is complete and the evidence has been gathered, they will hand it over to the National Prosecuting Authority.
Mm-hmm.
And then the National Prosecuting Authority will take a look at the docket and the evidence, and based on their discretion alone, they'll decide we are going to prosecute or we won't prosecute in this matter.
Mm-hmm.
Once they decide to prosecute, obviously, then the matter goes to court and the legal argument ensues. Mm. You have a right to obviously get an attorney who will defend you against whatever the charge may have been, and may the best person win.
Mm.
The thing with practicing law is there are so many layers to it. The first layer is just to study, first of all, right? So you get your LLB. After that, you then need to go and practice. So if you're going to be an advocate, for example, there's pupillage that happens. You go under the wing of another advocate. They'll teach you how to do this, how to do that. Research is also very, very important, because even though you may be a qualified legal practitioner, you don't know every aspect of the law.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost impossible to do so. So you've got to sit down and research. Every particular case is different.
Mm-hmm.
And you rely on case law. You rely on customary law, Roman Dutch law. There's so many things, right? And obviously constitutional law. Lots of reading. So this is actually very, very interesting, because the failures of the NPA are the failures of the state as a whole, but also the failures of the private sector interacting with the public sector. Mm-hmm. Let me explain what I mean by that. When we sit here and we speak about how people in the public sector shouldn't be paid this much, the wage bill is too inflated, yada, yada, yada. When you make that cut, you may not realize it, but what you are inevitably doing is you are narrowing the talent that you can choose to work in the public sector.
Mm, true.
So if you remember the Oscar Pistorius case, right? Gerrie Nel was a prosecutor then.
Beast.
He used to work for the state.
Beast.
Yep.
Right? Then Advocate Barry Rue, the guy he was up against, was obviously working in the private sector.
Yeah.
Advocate Barry Rue, I'm not going to tell you what his rate was then, but it was millions.
Mm.
You know, some of the most famous advocates in the country, they will charge you like 25 grand an hour.
Mm. Mm.
An hour to represent you.
Mm.
Now, that person with all that experience and all those resources, because he doesn't work alone.
Mm.
He's got somebody helps him with the drafts, for example.
Yeah.
He's got other attorneys underneath him who help him with the research.
Yeah.
If there's anything that needs to be transcribed, they will do that. You're up against one attorney, or maybe sometimes a state advocate, who is overwhelmed.
Yes.
Handling more than one case.
Yep.
And sometimes doesn't have adequate experience.
Mm.
Do you see the problem here?
Yep, I see it. And to go back to the Gerrie Nel and Barry Rue thing, in 2017, then he stopped working for the NPA because we all saw his talent. The guy is amazing.
Yep.
And guess who where he is now? AfriForum in the private sector. Now we've lost another incredible prosecutor because obviously the guys are not paid that well. So it's easy to poach them from the NPA.
Yes. Now, Mfundo, here's where it's going to get very tricky, because I'm going to bring up something that I know you disagree with. You love democracy. But do you now see why communist countries sometimes cap what people are able to earn in the private sector?
Mm.
They'll go out and they'll just say, guys, as an attorney, you can't earn more than this much.
Mm.
Because it's that disparity that creates the issue where people now suddenly leave the public sector and go to a private sector.
Mm.
I disagree. And I disagree because we're now focused on the private sector when we should be focused on the public sector. We have a state attorney. A state attorney is the biggest consumer of legal work. They brief through their own attorneys there. They brief private advocates. But the problem is, let's use, for instance, Udalimpofu. You're going to brief him to represent the state, but the problem is they themselves have a cap on how much he can charge when he's going to do work for the state. And unfortunately, you do need to pay for that level of experience. But you'd find that it's a matter of now. I think there's three invoices, so there'll be three advocates that can bring an invoice of how much they charge per hour or per day. So they choose the cheapest one in some instances. There have been cases like that where government would then choose the cheapest one. But you've got to go beyond just the invoice and look at the experience as well and the amount of work that would be needed, the research. So you'll hardly get a Moses Kakani then taking on state work purely because there's a cap. He needs more money than what is being on, is being offered.
But this is the point I'm trying to make. But he doesn't need that money.
No, he only
demands it because he knows he can get in the private sector. If that money was not available, he will take what the state gives him. This is exactly the point you're trying to make.
How about allocating more funds to the NPA? Because they've been saying they've been hollowed out.
Yeah. Until when?
We need to. We're not.
But until when?
And I have no problem with communism, but in this instance, what you're talking about, to say, let's now focus and put legislation that almost caps how much you can earn in the private sector. I mean, there are many people that would say, now you're restricting people's rights, eh?
But that's not what I said. What I said was, the issue here is that it all comes together, right? The reason why people can charge this much is because in the private sector, there is no cap to how much you can charge. Yeah. So, for example, you get more budget, and then you go back and you say, okay, fine. We'll now pay you your 25 grand an hour. Yeah. Then the market goes, nah, okay, fine. We'll pay you 50 grand an hour. Yeah. Then what do you do as a state?
But that's the free market.
It's a runaway
system.
Train.
No, but you make a choice because there are many people who even work as nurses or doctors in the public space, and they do so because it's a calling. They want to be there. So there'll be people
but
that
now,
do take
see,
work from now, the state attorney.
Now you are actually you making the point for me now. Because
I'm saying
nobody's going to work for
peanuts.
Yeah, nobody's going to do this. For me, a pittance. Yeah, just because it's a calling. Yeah.
It's a call.
Call my bank.
It's, we are
here. Werner, please. Don't tell us. Don't tell us.
It's unfortunate, though, because when you look at the Omotoso case particularly, I mean, for 8 years it ran, and probably two of those were probably, I think it was, they said it was Omotoso's unavailability or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that the NPA is. So
and then this is a second prosecutor, by the way. The first one dropped it.
I can't do this. Yeah. So they're heavily under resourced. And it's such a shame because when you have cases like these, who, when you look at it from surface level, you can already see how many transgressions a guy has made. But the NPA can't prove it beyond reasonable doubt.
Then there's the issue of procedure, right?
Yeah.
When you're under resourced, very often you don't know how to follow procedure, but then also you choose not to because you got to cut corners.
Yep.
Now, if I'm coming with my highly paid lawyer and team of people, we're going to find that procedural impropriety. And guess what? We are going to exploit it. Mess is going to get kicked out of court, even if I'm a guilty of sin. And this is why people that are rich have better access to the law.
But procedure has nothing to do with money. I mean, what we heard from Judge Irma is honestly disappointing. You had a prosecutor who didn't understand or know the definition of rape. I mean, that on its own has nothing to do with how much money or under-resourced they are. That is their
problem.
But
it does.
No, if you're going to
appeal
right
now. So let me explain again. Everything has to do with money. Yeah. The reason why he didn't know the definition of rape is because of the law school that he went to. The law school that he went to is because of the money that he had.
No, it's not the law school. It's the lack of exposure.
And experience.
As an advocate, yes. I'm talking about that exposure, that as an advocate, you're as good as the cases you've been exposed to. If there are cases that are very technical in nature, be it in the pension law or whatever the case may be, if you don't get enough briefs or somebody who decides to bring you on as a junior to those very sophisticated cases, you'll never know.
But you only get access to the big four if you either know people who work in the big four, or you move in those circles. A kid that graduates from a law school in a university, for example, that's in the rural areas, will hardly ever get into those big four. They won't get that exposure. This is a point I'm trying to make.
They don't look at you.
It all boils down to money.
Now, all of it boils down to money. That's the legislation we need, where the big four is then forced to take on these juniors and expose them to these cases, or even the state attorney itself. It takes the risk. I mean, look at our president or any other. They don't use or allow or force them to bring in the juniors to expose them to the very complex cases. That's why we see the same faces when we look at these advocates that are always representing the president or the most prominent leaders.
Okay. Now, at the risk of us being late, I like the points you just brought up. But now you're talking about interfering in the private sector again, right? Let me ask you this. You, as a professional who does your job, if I were to give you somebody who is inept at the job that you do, therefore burdening how you're going to deliver and what you're going to deliver, would you accept that as a private company that we are at Kaya?
No.
Slowing us down.
No way. No. With our resources. No. It's not a chance. We hire the best for a reason. Now, I'm sorry. I understand that you previously disadvantaged and you are currently underprivileged. But to bring you now here so that you can slow us down just for the sake of saying we're fixing inequality that we didn't create as a private sector, forget it. Nami, I don't even want you on my team. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, Banta, it's a difficult one.
This is the one right here. It's tough. What are your thoughts?
That statement that you just made, Suzu, the last one, just rubbishes employment equity.
Well, I guess it does in some ways, but everything does boil down to money at the end of the day. And so I guess whether we like to admit it or not, these are the facts. Facts are facts, Bagit.
What I'm saying is that the NPA is underfunded. They have taken away so much money from the NPA. So I used to work for the NGO sector, and they have taken away a lot of money away from the NPA, and they use junior lawyers who are not really prepared or don't understand what's going on. So in 2022, I got a job. When the Zondo Commission was in the spotlight, USAID funded it and everything, we trained lawyers how to draft a brief of how to see financial crime and everything. Most of these people, they were very, very, like, they've been working as lawyers for over 5 years, but they did not understand what financial crime was, all these things. So what I'm saying is that we need money to put and train lawyers under the NPA. So they are very underfunded, and there's a lot more that's going on. So a lot of people want, especially the lawyers or the people that work for the NPA, from my experience that I've worked with, I see them, or when I worked with them, they know that they need to do the work. However, they don't know how to. So all they need to do is training.
And that's because capitalism filters into everything. So as you were saying, for example, you had lawyers that had been working for years but didn't understand what financial crimes are. And it's because majority of the people that are charged for financial crimes, when they need defense, they go to the private sector and the high-end law firms. So those are the people that get experience. Mergers, acquisitions, all of those things are handled by the big four.
I'm a lawyer that works in the private sector, and I can tell you now that I have zero interest in working in the public sector for three reasons, actually. The workload, the amount of money that they get paid, and the fact that they do not get quality work, or they're not exposed to quality work. And I believe that stunts their growth a lot. Hence, you see what happened in the Omotoso case. So, yeah. And I don't think it has to do with the university that you come from. And I know many people that come from universities in rural areas that make it in the big five. So I don't think that's the problem. I think more can be done in the public sector, though.
What you say is the bitter truth. And I think this is why, to Mfundo's point, internships are important. Get them in quite early into these various opportunities in their respective industries. And now I'm speaking just generally about everybody, not necessarily people who are in law. Because what that then does is that even if you come from previously disadvantaged background, is that you are then able to polish up on, you know, understanding certain things, certain concepts, and there's a little bit more patience afforded to you. Because now, so it's easier, as opposed to you not having that exposure, and then you get into Musebeti and it still was so cool, and you slow the team down, as you're saying. But yeah, those opportunities are critical.
Exactly. Umfundo should live in a dreamland. In fact, she should move with the Lababa invitee to United States because she lives in Disney. Everything involved around Imali. For an example, there are people now in the public hospital who are waiting for a scan. And that scan was saying, it's soon. Something with July. Just because it's kind of sort of that is supposed to cater for abantu. Meanwhile, with private hospitals, there's a scan is called now, they can access it tomorrow. Only the only way to do that would be for you to pay around 15,000 rand. Everything involves around the money, and there are so many people, unfortunately, who are stuck in prison. About Don Zimnyaga. Just because they didn't have the right lawyers, you know. And I also been exposed to a public hospital. Kunama intern, kono ehlulwa ngisho kungifaka a drip. He had to do that 3 times. Engawutholi umthambo. Imagine that.
Eish, eish, eish.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.